We've been programmed quite a bit with our relationship with money. We have a relationship with everything known in our environment. You have a relationship, a neurological network in your brain for your parents, for your cell phone, for your computer, where you live, where you've lived in the past, what you're gonna do tomorrow. For the most part, the brain is a reflection of everything that we know. Let's back up and just look at how people form beliefs. Most beliefs are created from past experiences. Children, when they're in their early ages, their brainwaves are very slow. Their brainwaves are in alpha when they're like 7 to 12. They're in theta when they're like 2 to 6 years old. And they're in delta like when they're newborn to 2 years old. And so these brainwave states are states that were really suggestible to information. And we accept it, we believe it, we surrender to it, as if it's the truth without analyzing it, because there's no analytical facilities yet. The analytical mind starts around 12 or so, 7 to 12, and that analytical mind is actually what creates a barrier between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. If you heard money is the root of all evil, money is bad, only certain people are allowed to make money, you have to work hard. So a lot of people have a relationship with money based on either what they've been told or what they've experienced in their outer environment. So then we gain information from our environment, and the stronger the emotion we feel from experiences in our lives, the more altered we feel inside of us, the more the brain freezes a frame. You have an experience where you lose money, you have an experience where money's taken away from you, have an experience where you don't have enough, you're living in a place where there's not enough money or a family that's not enough money, then the emotion that most people are living by on a moment-to-moment basis is lack. Like, I'm in lack of having something that I want. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, because the experience changes your emotional state, you freeze the frame, you take a picture. The problem is, that's hardware. So we think neurologically within the circuits. When we create from three-dimensional reality, we're creating from lack and separation. In other words, you're driving down the road and you see someone driving a car that all of a sudden you realize that you don't have. The moment you become aware that that person has that car and you don't have it, you're in lack of having it. So what the brain naturally does is it naturally creates you driving that car. And you have an image of yourself driving that car and you start identifying, wow, that would be a greater experience for me to have. The problem is the distance between the thought of what you want and the experience of actually happening for most people is the concept called time. So some people develop the ability to manage themselves and manage their life. They develop certain skills and they can pay for it and they can get it very quickly. The problem is when the novelty of that experience wears off and the feeling of emptiness and lack comes back, there's this game that goes on where you never have enough, right? And that's the lack game. The person who's living in lack is waiting for their wealth to feel abundant. They're waiting for their success to feel empowered. They're waiting for their healing to feel gratitude. They're waiting for their new relationship to feel love. They're waiting for their mystical experience to feel awe. That's the Newtonian model of reality, of cause and effect, you know, waiting for that event to happen to take away this separation or lack. But what we've discovered is actually something else. The moment you feel gratitude, your healing begins. The moment you feel worthy and abundant, you're generating wealth. The moment you're empowered, you are moving towards your success. The moment you're in love with yourself and you're in love with life, you'll create an equal. The moment you are in awe of life, you're going to have a mystical experience. And so that's causing an effect. You can teach people then how to create instead of from lack or separation, but create from wholeness and create from what we call the quantum field instead of three-dimensional reality. First of all, it takes knowledge, okay? The quantum field is an invisible field of energy that exists beyond our senses. You can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it, you can't hear it, you can't feel it. It exists beyond our experience of three-dimensional reality. You could study all kinds of science and they'll tell you there is this invisible field of frequency and energy that exists beyond the senses that tend to connect everything physical and material. So we discovered that when you take all of your attention off your body and you are not paying attention to your emotions, your drives, your habits, if you could take all of your attention off of every element in your environment, your cell phone, your tablet, your computer, there tends to be a dramatic change in the way the brain functions when people do this properly. We call it getting beyond yourself. We kind of figured out this formula when people really become nobody, no one, no thing, nowhere, no time. They're pretty much all of a sudden outside the constraints of the Newtonian world of got to do something to get an outcome. And if you can teach people how to linger there without a name, without a family, without a culture, without a past, without a disease, you teach them how to be in this place we call the unknown. And you teach them that from that place, that invisible field, is where everything material comes from. And if they could create coherence in their brain, you need a strong signal in the brain. The more coherent the brain, the more stronger the signal. When you're under stress, the perception that something's going to get worse or you can't control something, when that occurs, we switch on that primitive nervous system called the fight or flight nervous system, and the brain goes into this very alarmed state called high beta. That means pay attention to the outer world. There's danger out there. But if it's not a predator and it's traffic or your coworker, this is where it gets to be a problem. It becomes very maladaptive. So when we're in that state and the brain is in that aroused state, we try to control and predict everything. So every person, every object, everything, every place, even your body, has a neurological network in your brain, right? So as the arousal happens, we start shifting our attention to all these elements, and like a lightning storm in the clouds, the brain starts firing very, very incoherently. And when the brain's incoherent, we're incoherent. That's disconnection. When we're in that state, we're always really looking for the worst case scenario. In this kind of aroused state, as we shift our attention to each one of these elements that are known in our environment, the brain starts compartmentalizing and firing out of order. And when you do that, you actually make your brain worse. If you can teach people to do the exact opposite, go from putting all of their attention on everything physical and material in the world of separation, and instead of narrowing their focus on something material, ask them to broaden their focus and put it on nothing. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but when you put your attention on space and you divert your attention, the act of sensing without thinking actually starts to slow the brainwaves down. Not only slow it down, but all of a sudden cause the brain to start reintegrating, starts to synchronize, right? And then what sinks in the brain kind of links in the brain. So when a person has their whole entire brain firing in rhythm, that's a very strong signal that you can send out into the field. So if you're creating from the field instead of from matter, there's a very strong possibility that you'll shorten the distance between the thought of what you want and the experience of having it. And when there's a vibrational match between your energy and that future that you want to experience, now if you're creating from the field, you actually don't go anywhere to get it. I don't understand. I didn't do anything. Well, you changed your energy. And so then the other element is a coherent heart. And the heart has a magnetic signature. And the magnetic signature is what draws reality to us. The longer you're conscious of that energy, the more you draw that future to you. So then what does the synchronicity mean? It means whatever you're doing inside of you is producing that effect outside of you. Pay attention to what you did. When the synchronicity happens, do you think you feel suffering or do you think you feel a little excitement? You feel inspired. So then that synchronicity is saying, use this energy, use this feeling. It should be easier for you to feel this now and go back and do it again. You combine that clear intention with a coherent brain. Now here's the key. This takes practice. We generate abundance. That's how we do it. If you have an hour meditation where you're tuning into your abundant future, but then you're spending the other 15 hours a day in lack, don't expect anything to change. You defaulted. You're back to the unconscious program of being a victim. So important for people to remember that they're the creators of their lives instead of the victim of their lives. You got to turn the battleship around, because most people say, I can't feel grateful for my wealth because it hasn't happened yet. That's the hypnosis. Waiting for the experience to happen to feel grateful. Well, that's Newtonian. That's three-dimensional reality. That's cause and effect. The quantum, you got to feel it in order for you to experience it. Okay, so this heart becomes like an amplifier, and it sends that signal out, and that frequency can carry the thought of your abundance. Suffering cannot carry the thought of your abundance. Lack cannot carry the thought of your abundance. It's a different frequency, right? We feel different feelings like suffering. We think different thoughts, right? So people can say, I'm abundant, all they want, but that thought is never making it to the body because it's stopping at the brainstem because the body's saying, I'm miserable, I'm in lack, right? So the affirmation doesn't work, right? Okay, so let's go one step further. So if you practice this, if you're doing it properly then, what would be the outcome? You would have to feel that feeling. It's so good at doing it with your eyes closed. You gotta do it with your eyes open. Now why? Because if you're feeling the feelings of your emotions, of your future, you're no longer looking for them. You're no longer looking for it to occur, say, why hasn't it happened yet? If you're feeling abundant, why would you look? Our job then is to be able to maintain that modified state of mind and body. So, okay, so does that mean like you should check your bank account tomorrow and see if there's $500,000 in it? No. You keep tuning into that potential, and then here come the synchronicity. But now let's do something that would be really cool. Let's write down the feelings of how you would feel if that future happened, and you're going to have to feel that feeling before it occurs. Okay, what does an abundant person feel? Pretty much free, grateful to be alive, abundant. Okay, now let's practice feeling those. Turns out when you're feeling those other emotions like resentment and impatience and frustration, you're stepping on the gas pedal, turning on the sympathetic nervous system, and you're stepping on the brake. The fight or flight nervous system says run, fight, or hide, and you're sitting in a Zoom meeting and your neck is pulsating is because the heart is beating against the closed system. You're not using it in an adaptive way. And then we stop trusting our future. Energy leaves the heart. Okay, so we gotta lay down the very thing we used our whole life to get what we want. The habit of doing it that way for something greater to occur. It's not about wealth. It's who you become.